Hey guys, what's happening and welcome to another episode of FPL Copy Talks where three gentlemen share insights and analysis of the current Premier League games and what it means to the game we love, Fantasy Premier League. I'm Anwar, the FPL casual.
I'm ABK, the Arsenal loyalist.
And I am Lukman, the sensible one. How's it going, boys?
All good, man, all good. Bummed to be missing out the pod for last week. Actually, to be honest, I haven't really heard back, haven't really listened back to the pod, but I've heard some audio hiccups, audio editing hiccups.
Yeah.
Not as bad as the hiccup that you had at the stadium. How was that?
I made a day trip. Basically, I went to Porto for one day, and then the next day I was back in Barcelona. I managed to snap up the tickets from Porto. I bought it from the FC Porto website itself, so I was kind of not in the away section. I was in the home section, so I was wearing kind of my Arsenal jersey inside, but I was wearing a jacket over. So
the Porto jacket over lah.
No, actually I was wearing a blue jacket over, so I was kind of blending in with the crowd.
Okay.
And my idea was that I wanted to sit near to the Arsenal stand, the Arsenal away section, so that maybe I could just pop one over, but I saw that it was quite crowded, and like the view from the away section was quite bad lah. Like they put like a net over it. I think because we were seated on the top, they put a net.
Oh, they had a typho, is it?
It's like a net, I think, to make sure that to prevent that people throw stuff over, you know, below there's the Porto fans, right? So like the view wasn't so nice, but I would say like the experience was kind of like sad for me, because like my first ever Champions League game ever. Like, okay, so the thing is like this is not my first European Arsenal game live, no. I think Anwar maybe not know this, but I was actually at a Baku. For this Europa League final against Chelsea.
Baku at, what you call it?
Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
Do you your work around there?
I've been to Central Asia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and all this, but I've missed Azerbaijan during that trip.
I think Azerbaijan might be considered Europe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but it's a nice place. It's a lot of
European. So like, the Europa League final also we lost, and that was super sad for me. So like my European nights that I've watched live Arsenal hasn't been great.
But you mentioned you were sad.
Sorry?
What do you expect, man?
To begin with, it was a super boring game. It was a super boring game.
Arsenal didn't register any shots
on target. And then like, I think Porto also didn't look like they wanted to attack much. So it was kind of a boring game. Like I was kind of like, actually nil-nil kind of boring idea. But then like, this is kind of a wasted trip. But then
that last minute was a killer.
I was like, oh damn it. Like I was like wishing for like, I was already like complaining like it was nil-nil, but 1-0 was even worse. And the fact that I was in a home section, so everyone around me went wild. So I was like, just stand up a bit to pretend to kind of like,
but just curious, like, I mean, the scoreline aside, and the game was a boring game. How was the stadium atmosphere?
Actually, to be honest, compared to
the Dortmund game that you went.
No, like, totally, like, I think everything I watch now is going to pale in comparison to the Dortmund experience. Okay, first of all, in the Dortmund experience, I was in the yellow wall. It was non-stop. I could not hear myself for 90 minutes, basically. Mm. Right. But this one, I noticed like people say like Portugal, like the stadiums are quite wild also. I didn't feel so. Actually, like I felt like most of the noise was from the ultra section only. Like the ultra section on the Porto was always 90 minutes. They were that one. But the rest of the stadium was pretty quiet. I felt like it was until that goal, then you realize that the stadium's super loud. But if not, then like, I didn't think that the stadium was particularly super like difficult to play in. But Arsenal, I don't know, notoriously we haven't won in Portugal for a while. I think we've been having bad record in Portugal.
You have the home game coming,
hopefully everything is
away goals is not so crucial now.
No more goals anymore. So if it's a 2-1, let's say Arsenal wins the game 2-1, it will go to extra time and penalty.
Yes. Correct.
So it's okay. Previously, when you had the away goal rule, I thought it was, I really missed like this kind of rules which make the game a bit more interesting. I mean, like, 1-0 loss away, playing home next, you got to be sure that your away goals are like not more than the goals that you scored. So, interesting one.
All right, I guess it's time we start the pod. But before that, don't forget to follow us on FPL Kopi Talks on IG, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and X.
Yep, and as usual, if you're listening to us on Spotify, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and give us the 5-star rating.
Also, if you haven't, do join our Telegram group where we're running our FPL Prize League. I'm really looking forward to today's pod. And without further ado, grab your beverage of choice. This is episode 111, Doogie Howser. Let's get into it.
Let's go.
Boss, kopi o satu, boss.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks.
It's Freddie Youngberg again. Push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
Tall, grande, venti. In this segment, we put our purely biased, highly opinionated ratings of this game week. Sorry. Let's start with ABK.
Yeah. Bad week for me this week. I kind of like was hoping that I, because I've been for a few weeks now yo-yoing like between the 1 million rank, above the 1 million rank, below 1 million rank. So I was hoping that to stay within the 1 million rank for good. But this week, it was really, really, really bad for me. 36 points. Arsenal did really well in the Premier League. I think we've had a 4-1 win, convincing win against Newcastle. I think we got our revenge for what happened in St. James's Park. But I think to think about like the loss we had in Porto, where I was there live, and how bad my FPL team did, I think it was really quite not great for me. Yeah, anyway... let's see how my team did. 36 points. I did no transfers this week. I kind of wanted to roll my transfer because I wanted to get more information on the game week 29. With game week 27, you have all the information going to game week 29, so it would be nice to have one more transfer to see what I can do with it.
Yeah. And so you have four.
Yeah, so I have
four transfers.
I have four transfers going to 29. I think so let me just say my team. I had Areola in goal. My defense is Ake, Gabriel, Trippier. My midfield is Garnacho, Gordon, De Bruyne, Saka. And up front, I got Tony, Haaland, and Archer. So Archer was on a yellow flag. I was kind of hoping that I didn't want to kind of make a move for Archer because there was
what
a
was
spot
the
that. I say I don't know. Like, yeah, probably Solanke or something. But I also wanted to make sure that I had enough funds to upgrade De Bruyne to Salah. So I didn't want to kind of I was just kind of hoping Archer came back from injury and played. But in the end, I think De Bruyne also didn't play. He stayed on the bench. I think Pep was pretty cautious with him. And then Trippier considered 4 goals against Arsenal and then got a 0-pointer. So in the end, I had essentially an 8-man team. 36 points. My rank dropped from, like, I think it was about just below 1 million, 900,000 to about 1.2 million. Yeah. Not really great. I would put this week's rank as maybe 4 out of 10 for me.
Despite the win?
Okay.
Despite the
Arsenal?
Despite the Arsenal win, because like I would say I factor in the Arsenal loss to Porto also. Yeah, although it's not Premier League.
There's plenty of football this week. Yeah. But Premier League only like one of those many games.
Okay. My turn. So... I took a hit. So basically, Jota to Saka was a nil transfer, but I decided to take the hit from Darwin to Solanke. So basically, to fill 11, so basically I took a 50% discount on the hit because Solanke was my 11 player. It was a discount, bro, because 2 points, minus 4, minus 2, because I only have 11 players. So, So my game week was a bit meh lah, I guess. So it was 50 points. My safety was 54. Small rate from 780 to 830. My team is Ariola. Alejandro Moreno with minus one again, back to back. Estupinian, problem. Ake, Saka, Gordon, Foden, McAtee, Solanke, Captain Haller, and Watkins. My rating maybe around 5.5. So a bit of a grande in the middle. It would have been lower if Liverpool lost the final, but I think the final made it a pathway.
We'll talk about it a bit after Anwar's review of
a
his
bit,
team. Just a bit. Touch on how the B Division Liverpool team won the Chelsea team.
Anyway, I've got 59 points this week. 55 with the hit. I took a hit. Got in Solanke for Darwin. And then, we were contemplating the last spot. Who should I bring in defense? So, punish once again with Alex Moreno.
Moreno wasn't in the discussion, bro.
Yeah, Moreno wasn't in the discussion.
It was too expensive, right? Torres.
It wasn't too expensive. Yeah, I wanted it was a longer term horizon. But then it was between Pau Torres and a lot of central defenders, and I just don't like. One thing is I don't feel comfortable having central defenders.
Ryan was 12 points.
I mean, if looking back, there's always a lot of other options But one thing is for certain: every time I take a hit for a defender, right, it comes back with a negative point. So this is the second time. The first time was Trippier.
So now what will you say? Never again or what?
Huh?
Never again or
no, what? I say once again.
Yeah, so
once never
you,
again.
Will you say never again to take a hit for a defender or not?
There's a lot of learning points to take back from this season. So I won't say never again. But I've been really this is one of the reasons why generally we stay away from transfers in defense But I think exceptional cases like this, we're gonna take the hit now. It's not only for 1 week pun. So I think looking forward to potentially blank game week 29 and preparing for that, I thought let's take the L on this one. But anyway, 59 points this week. Guess who my captaincy is on this week? It became really pleased.
Huh?
It's on Saka. I think one of those So when Saka returned. I won't say return. Decent double-digit hauler, right? 10 points. I thought, okay, there'd be a huge differential, but overall, not much of an impact. A small red arrow, 92K to 94K overall. But thankfully, still under the 100K. And I think moving forward, a bit more precarious, how I want. It's a bit more... My team is a bit more stable now, going into game week 29 and the options that I have moving forward. I could even roll my transfer this week. But I don't know, we were looking at the polls, right? How did my team value well below average? Yeah. So that's another one. So for you guys listening, we have this what was it called? Invitational league, right? The analysis that came out was that my team value is at 101.4 million,
versus the average is 103.
Yeah. So that's quite a bit of a.
But it comes to show though. It comes to show though. I think team value doesn't mean really much. To be honest, to your rank, you know.
Yeah.
You are the highest among all of us, and your team value is the lowest. So. Sometimes I think we might take team value to we factor it too much. I wouldn't say it's not important at all. It's definitely important, especially in the later stages to get the team that you want. But I feel maybe you shouldn't play such a big part in your kind of transfer thinking. Because what do you say? Do you not think about team value at all? When you do your transfers?
No, I don't.
Season, yeah.
Early on in the season, I think there were a lot. I made one rash decision bringing Darwin early because of everyone was saying he'll raise in price and then someone else would drop in price. I forgot what was the discussion. I think it was Watkins to Darwin or something like that, one of the weeks. Yeah, and that was one of the regrets that I had. But at the end of the day, I think, it's something that we need to, to look back and see how it got here and what's
I think 1.0 is quite low, so I think there's something you might can look back, like Kenny is 105.6, that's like almost 4 million more.
Yeah, and but I'm at
103. Yeah, what do you think?
On the preliminary analysis, right, I guess I had a lot of the Asian Cup
players to drop.
Hit me hard. The Asian and Africa Cup.
Yeah.
So coming into that, right, I had like Kudus, I had like Sun, I had Huang Hee-chan, I had Salah.
But you sold them late, is it? That's why they dropped in price.
I had to sell them later. Because I had 4 transfers to do, right? And then like the game weeks were coming up. So like
I think you delayed.
I couldn't do it.
I think you wrote a lot, right? That's why. Probably.
Yeah.
So you, that was, you were patient with your hits. I think that's why, yeah. Hey, what's your rating, bro? Did you say?
Yeah, so 5.9 out of 10 for the number of points that I have. Pretty decent week. Football was okay-ish. And then 5.9 out of 10.
All right, before we move on, right, to timestamp this, right, Chelsea just beat Leeds, just full-time. So Arsenal and Chelsea is a blank in 29. But we'll talk more in part 2. So let's move on to Brew of the Week. In this segment, we discuss players or teams that have exceeded our FPL expectations. So ABK wants to talk about the non-FPL game last weekend, the big game, the final. ABK, you want to start?
I start. Yeah. Actually, to be honest, I watched the game. Of all the games this week, I've actually watched this game. Klopp, how I think, I don't know. I mean, traditionally, this cup has always been the Mickey Mouse Cup. You know, like how I think I was reading like the press conference on how when Pep Guardiola first came to EPL, like one of the people in the club told her like, oh, you don't care about this cup. You just play your youngsters. But more like lately, like I think in the past few years, it's been growing in importance, you know, like it's an avenue for teams who hasn't won cups in a while to win cups, you know. So like they take things more seriously. They play like all their senior players in the League Cup, right? But Klopp, I don't know, like this final, he did something crazy. I mean, like I think he started off, I think maybe with a decently senior team, and then like he ended off the game playing guys that I don't know, like just like
legends, really, NPCs.
NPCs, like no Football Manager. You just play, and then the next season they just throw one dance lah. I don't know, like even like the Connor Bradley, he came off for Clark, and I don't know.
Connor Bradley played right wing,
crazy. Yeah.
Anyway, I know. How do you think?
But not by choice, I think mainly because of the injuries and Gravenberg.
By choice, you mean? Not by choice or by choice?
What do you mean? Like he didn't have a choice in playing the youngsters.
Correct.
So
sorry. What do you think of the game?
So
quick one.
We
happy?
Honestly, proud? We expected lah. I think it was expected. This Chelsea team was just another level of... on one hand, we can brew the Liverpool team, but we got to roast this Chelsea team. You want to say it's a newly assembled team, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. This is like almost, 3 games into the season, including cup games, and your first final. And there's some pundits who saying that Liverpool came in with a better form, etc. But the Chelsea players, nobody stepped up to the game lah. I mean, they had one offside goal. I mean, the first one where Sterling scored, right, and it was offside, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they could have just piled on the pressure, but they didn't lah. So they fizzled out quite a bit. And
there
I
was this
that
chance
was
also, I think.
Gallagher,
kind of a backheel kind of chance. That was close.
No, Enzo.
No. It was
Gallagher
like
was one-on-one.
Palmer was playing this ball into the box, and then I think Gallagher had this chance where he kind of, not say backheel, but kind of like looks a bit like a back heel, but yeah, he hit the post.
They had chances. Kelleher came in clutch.
Oh, yeah. I remember the Gallagher one-on-one also. Yeah. That was
Endo also had one like goal-saving tackle.
Yeah. But to be fair, I don't think Van Dijk's first goal was it was a bit harsh that it was ruled out.
His contest is But anyway,
it should be in a red card for Caicedo also. If you put it next the image next to Curtis Jones' tackle. But that's the problem with the inconsistency of the VAR. I mean, all around.
Yeah. Sure. Just move on to FPL. I think we are people are here for FPL, right?
I want to talk about the great win in London, but I want to talk the one in the claret side of London, West Ham against Brentford.
Big Jared Beer, JB.
Well, yeah, I know, and the goals are crisp, man. Did you see his finishes? Not, they were crisp. It wasn't like it was really good goals. Three awesome goals. And I would like to say that I didn't even consider moving out a midfielder, right? But I was tinkering last game. It's like Luis Diaz to Bowen. That was one of the potential move, right? But
from game 20.
I just want to finish there. But like, you know, we had a conversation and then like we said, Paqueta might be back. We wait one game and see how he'll be when Paqueta is back. Instant impact, lah.
Coincidentally, right? Paqueta, right? The 7 games that West Ham played this season without Paqueta is 0 wins, if I'm not wrong.
So from game 20, right? Bowen went from 3 points, 2 points, 1, 2, 2, 2, and then 20 points. And he played all 90 minutes all again. So Paqueta come back, he's probably get 20 points. Yeah. How do you?
There's that Paqueta effect.
Paqueta is West Ham Rodriguez.
Is it a Brentford thing or what? Is Brentford that bad? But Brentford played well City.
Brentford played decent. That game Brentford played decent. But the goals were just good. I mean, like Kudus also returned. Kufal
Emerson
also returned.
That one was
nice.
How much did Emerson
really nice,
in the game?
Emerson is cheap, right?
Super cheap,
right?
But the goal was... Let me check. What a blinder.
4-4. Kufal 4-6.
4-4.
There are options. I think somebody bought Bowen. I don't think...
Do they blank in 29?
No. The reason why people bought him... I saw Aston, the Arsenal fan guy, right? He bought him Bowen. The only reason he bought because he's playing in 29. But... Again,
correct.
How do you buy Bowen after 6 blanks and then get 20 points? That's crazy.
No, I mean, crazy. Okay, so if you're looking at like, you've already have your Aston Villa assets covered and then you're bringing to be a West Ham player, there isn't really much options. I mean, you can go for Kudus, but if you have a bit of,
Bowen
money
be
in the bank, Bowen is slightly better. And at the end of the day, I was contending that move, but I didn't believe in the Paqueta effect, you know. But how you Paqueta...
It's hard to say, it's hard to buy Bowen after 6 blanks, to be honest.
Exactly.
I wouldn't say it's wise.
And then, it was Luis Diaz for Bowen. And then Luis Diaz is playing Forest next. So that was something that I wanted in the team.
That would be a 4-4 also, right?
4-4? Instead of Alex
Moreno. So you can't agree here. So advantage for those who are not playing free hit in 29 because another guy who's Aston Villa, Douglas Lewis, so people bought him because they don't want to play a free hit, right? And he, Monster Brace, who is... Yeah. I don't know, I saw the game, right? It's just the variance. He got a bit lucky. I think he only had 2 shots and then 2 goals. And he was playing deep also in the game. He just happened to score 2 open goals when he just ventured up front and he scored that. So it's a bit of a lucky / unlucky. But yeah, Dougie Hauser with a brace. No set pieces. So it was a bit... Yeah, came out of nowhere with a lot of brace. So advantage for those not playing free hit. What do you think?
Yeah, Dougie. I think once again, like we mentioned, he's not as shiny because he's what we traditionally would put as a defensive midfielder. But again... Villa, you got other pretty decent ones like Leon Bailey,
Louis.
Which I think one this week.
Me and Anwar choose Dougie, right? We suggested Dougie last part, right? Over yeah. Billy, I think. Yeah, so yeah, credit to us.
Hindsight, yeah. Hindsight is always
always best, up your good recommendations. But for the Ringham, all don't need to mention anymore.
Yeah, but it's annoying. Yeah, I mean, okay, let's talk about that. Your team, ABK, monster game, man. What a win, man. Like, I know Newcastle, I've been roasting Newcastle's SGC, right? But still, it was very impressive. Only three shots on Newcastle. Had right, and this I was pretty happy with the clean sheet wipeout but the attack, man, what do you think, ABK?
Yeah, we're as in, like, I don't know, to watch the Porto game and then to watch this game after, it's like a world of difference. It's like I don't know
why,
what's the difference. Okay, so for the Porto game, actually Ben White played like kind of the inverted role. Kivior was the one that played in as a kind of more traditional left back. So I think he kind of experimented with that in the Porto game, which I think you shouldn't, because it's like a Champions League game and you're away and then you, like, I don't know, personally, like, I wouldn't try it there. But it seems like he kind of did the same for the Newcastle game and kind of worked as well. So hopefully...
Ben White inverted?
Sort of inverted. I mean, like, not as inverted as some inverted fullbacks play, but he, you saw him a lot, like, going in to get the ball. Yeah. But I think I would have to, like, on the FPL as side of it, I think it's time that we look at Havertz. I'm kind of annoyed that my previous off the menu pick was Havertz, and then when I chose him as the off the menu pick, right, he, like, 0 points, 1 point. This week, right, I would have won the off the menu if I picked Havertz.
But
I mean, he's playing up front right now, and I kind of like that kind of the fight, the press that he has. Havertz, like,
great.
Like, his finishing is a bit annoying for me. Like, finishing, like, I really think, like, that he could, there's a lot of room for improvement. But everywhere, all other aspects of the game is something that I really like from Havertz.
I think he's finally, I mean, technically you were mentioning about Kivior, Ben White, but I think Havertz has found his position. Arteta has found Havertz's position. I think at a false nine kind of position, that's where he had thrived prior to the Chelsea team. Where was he from?
If Jorginho drops back out of the team, right, wouldn't he just go back to midfield? And Jesus, no,
I mean, it's not about moving back to midfield, but we know where his ideal position is in this set.
But I think FPL option, like, do you think it's a good option when he could go back to midfield? Because Jorginho won't play every game, right?
Yeah, Jorginho won't play every game. So the thing is, Partey is also back.
Oh, is he?
Could be that Partey plays the Rice role and Rice gets the 8 position. We also see Trossard also being played as the number 8. I think Smith Rowe also has some, like, I think Arteta also trying him there. But I feel like for now, like, I would prefer having Havertz in that false nine role over Jesus. I think he provides, I think in terms of how Arsenal press, I think Havertz does lots more, and he wins more duels, and he is more physical up front. Right,
so, and I feel like he opens up more space for Martinelli and Saka as well.
Yeah.
By absorbing the defender.
And shouldn't Martinelli be a better option than Kai?
I think...
Oh, Odegaard? Okay, let's rank them. Kai, Odegaard and Martinelli. Options.
So, Saka is like the top.
Yeah,
line.
I'm not talking about Saka. Yeah.
At the moment, yeah. I'll put Havertz first, followed by...
Odegaard is good, man. I know he blanked.
Odegaard is good. I'll put Odegaard second, and then Martinelli third. It isn't happening for Martinelli this season. I think maybe it's the Xhaka, not having Xhaka on that side that is kind of that lowers his output. But I would say Havertz, at the moment, I would put Havertz first.
Xhaka, Bayer Leverkusen. Anyway, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't double up, but I would go for Odegaard.
First, I think Odegaard. Over Havertz or Martinelli?
Over Havertz or Martinelli.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same as well.
Because Odegaard comes in with the goals and assists, and I think this season he's really flourished in that role. So, but again, like, I think the contention shouldn't be Saka and Odegaard. It should be Saka or Odegaard.
Really?
Like, I feel like, yeah.
So, you think Odegaard can compete with Saka?
No, I mean, like, if, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't double up on Arsenal midfielder with Saka and Odegaard. Because I feel like if Odegaard returns, then Saka will have more quiet game. If Saka returns, Odegaard tends to have more quiet game. So they are more like substitutes for each other.
I think Saka has to be in your team, and I think Saka has to be in your team, though.
Correct. Saka has to be in the team, but if you're looking like pushing for a differential, I don't think I think that Odegaard, you save some points and then on and hope that he performs better over the next few games.
I think he can double up. Quick shout also on Rice. I think Rice is not too bad of a shout as well. He's on corners. And Arsenal's corners this season is next level.
If he's on pens, right? Yeah. If he's on pens, he will be a legit option. He'll be a better option than Doggy. But he's not on pens, so maybe not. And also, I would say you can consider doubling on Arsenal. Look, they are the best team in the league. I think on form right now, their attack, it's just crazy, man. So I think if you want to double up and have a bit of a differential on the attack, like Saka, Gabriel, and Odegaard. Yeah, I like them. And like on a World Cup, for example, if you're doing now, I would definitely have triple Arsenal because they are the form team. So, yeah. Anyway, let's move on quickly. Yeah, rules of the week. In December, we discussed players or teams that could have done much better. Let's start with Neto / Wang.
This one, I mean, could have done better.
Oh, your brew.
So, I mean, since you were in the Arsenal and Newcastle game, should I sell my 3P or not? I'm really pissed off with the returns that he has.
But for who though? The only reason is there's no defenders to buy.
Right now I have.
They're not keeping clean sheets too though. Conundrum.
Yeah, he's not clean
Crystal Palace.
I think there's no one to buy. That's the only issue. If you tell me a defender that is worth buying right now, who comes to mind?
So what I can do is I can sell him. Get some 4 million defender.
Actually, Mitchell is a good shot. Because under Glasner, right, his average position, they play wing backs, right? So Mitchell and this Munoz guy, they were like very advanced average position. So yeah, that's a good shot, IBK. But then we don't know. Yeah, under this Glasner guy.
Yeah. And then Johnston is back in goal.
Yeah, how come? New manager.
And then you
still have Johnston in your team?
I have. Basket. Should I put him in? Reach the point,
But new manager bounce. Yeah, I think Trippier. Yeah, I want to roast Newcastle again, but it's like fourth time in a row. I feel like
defense really not worth. So just Trippier,
how bad is the defense? But I don't know who to buy though. That's the only issue. But anyway, I want to roast Neto and Huang a bit because a lot of people bought them, right?
Yeah.
Should we go there?
Wait, can we stick one last point on Newcastle before we go further?
Okay. Sorry. It's okay.
Guess who started in goal for Newcastle, man?
The legend.
Lord Darius.
He made a mistake, right?
Great to be back in the game. More than the result we expected.
Could he have saved the four goals? Any of the four goals?
I don't know. I think he made some
decent
interventions. But I don't think it's a much of an upgrade from Dubravka.
Yeah. Dubravka and Areola are two bad goalkeepers, man, in my team. BK, are you thinking of you don't believe in goalkeeper transfers, right?
You think... I don't know.
They're damn bad at both of them.
Who do I get even? I think maybe Johnston.
Neto. Reason. Bournemouth double.
It's so bad, just go with Fodringham, bro.
Now, Gerbich is the new Fodringham.
He's as bad, I feel. Anyway.
Kaminsky is doubling, right?
But I'll go Neto, better features.
I was just reading about goalkeepers, article. So they were ranking like reserves goalkeeper, So like off Kelleher's win on the Carabao Cup, right? So they're saying I think Ramsdale is at number one. Okay, then Petrovic is like number two or number three, Which I thought was a fair ranking. And then guess who's at number 19? Fodringham. They said despite playing the whole of the season, he's lost his place.
I want to know who's number 20.
I forgot, like some random goalkeeper. But he said despite playing most of the season, they brought in Gerbich to replace him and he still falls 19 on this list, which speaks a lot for him.
Okay. Let's roll on last one.
Let's go to
Before we end up, I Yeah, so a lot of people bought in Huang, right? I mean, a lot of people are cursing because he watching the game, right, he had no shots. But I still feel right, those who went Neto over Huang, over Dagi, right, I think they were just unlucky lah. Like, Dagi got lucky, and Huang, if you buy Huang home to Sheffield, it's never a bad decision lah. You just got unlucky. I mean, he got injured during the warm-up, apparently. Maybe that's why he looked out of sorts. And this morning, he actually went off injured also. So yeah, I think Huang owners got, right now, is a bit precarious at his position. But yeah, I still think it's unlucky, and it's a good buy lah, despite the blank. I still think it's a good decision. Sheffield at home, best. But if you look at it, right, like, I think Wolves play better if they play against those who don't park the bus, I guess, like, for Neto to counter-attack. But yeah, then again, it's hindsight lah. I think you got unlucky. Yeah. What do you think for those Huang owners? And Neto also. Anwar, you have Neto. But Neto look better lah. Neto look better than
better.
Huang.
I mean, with Huang and Neto, you're not expecting big haulers lah, to be honest. Yeah. Right? Because they They are bench options. Yeah. So I mean,
Neto,
like, I don't
end
know,
product.
I don't know,
end product not there. He got into so many good positions. I think his end product. Then he ran too fast. Then he like very hard to make decisions. But yeah, I think Neto look good, but his end product not there. But Huang look bad in that game. In what game was that? Against Sheffield. Yeah, you want to roast menu or should we just end part one?
Part 1.
No, yeah. And part 1,
okay, lah. Enough, lah. I mean, like, enough, were on a 4-game winning streak, lah. Give them a break. I mean, they're up to top 4 now. Fighting for top
4?
They're fighting for top 4, had a decent chance, good run of form. They just had to mess it up at home at Fulham. Let's leave it as that.
All right. Let's go to the FA Cup results and move on to part 2. But don't forget to follow
FA Cup
us
result,
on social.
We can have a conclusive pod for the second one.
Yes, correct. Don't forget to listen to our part 2 and follow the socials and all that jazz. Ano?
Yep. We appreciate all your support and remember to give us any feedback if you have any.
Yep. We'll be back for part 2. See you. We're FPL Kopi Talks signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.